Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Kay. Episode 2 in the books. How we feeling? We're off, so to speak.
And we're off. And I mean, I am liking this season more than I thought I would. Like, I think Zach is slightly boring, but I think, you know, the beginning of every season is kind of just getting to know the characters. And I honestly think they need to put the names of every girl on the screen for the whole time, at least right. For the beginning, because I'm yeah. still trying to learn all of their names. And it's hard. What about you?
And they really, you know, all they've had little mini moments, but not really. There hasn't been like one horse that's gotten, you know, ahead of the group, except for maybe Christina Mandrell, who, you know, had her one, but she should. She had a one-on-one date. You know, why wouldn't yeah. we know her more now than we did before? But it does seem like it is, we're getting a little tiny taste of everyone and we don't really get to know many of them. But I agree. I think the one thing you can say about Zach is it does seem like he is here for the right reasons. I mean, like, I actually think he's like, you know, like, listen, we all went to college. I know I went to college with people that were like, I'm getting into a relationship right away. Like all his actions and the things, the way he speaks has, I'm believing, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on believing his kind of what he's here, that he's here to find a marriage.
I agree, and which this kind of leads us into our first topic. So Vanity Fair came out with an article last week. The Bachelor is officially on life support. And first of all, the amount of people who sent this to me and they were like, did something happen to him? Because right. like actually Zach is on life yeah. support. I'm like, no, it's the show. And it's interesting because they're the first little like snippet of the paragraph says, Zach Shellcross's snoozy debut as the leading man did nothing to quell fears about this franchise's future or incentivize viewers to stay tuned for even another week, which I could see how that, like, I understand that. But he says in this article, he's like, hey, if you're looking for drama and all the this and that of the Bachelor world, you're not going to get that with me. Yeah, he's like, you're not going to get that from me.
What did you think of this article?
I don't know. I think it had some valid points to it because I think without the drama, what else is this show fueled by? Like, love? I mean, right. sure, but is it?
I mean, well, it's interesting. It's interesting how I hated this article. It got sent to me many times. I don't hate the person who wrote it. I kind of don't like the reason it gets written. This is what I call a hero piece. It is an opinion piece disguised as a news report. So you and I were sent this many mm-hmm. times. Just like you, I got sent, and the title that I don't. Sometimes that's written by an editor and not the writer, so I can't really put that on the writer. The title, you know, as you said, The Bachelor is officially on life support, is made to be clicky. It's made to get clicked.
Oh, yeah.
And
clickbait. I did it. I clicked it.
Right. And I read it. It doesn't have one. I thought when I saw The Bachelor is officially on life support, I thought I was going to get this article about how horrible the ratings are, how this show is this, and I thought I was going to get hit with all these numbers to tell me that this show is maybe on the brink of getting canceled. Mm-hmm. The article has not one number. not one stat. It is all opinion of one writer. It is written in the key of me, so to speak, in the key of the writer. It is not, and this is, it, and the reason it gets me upset is because this is the, there is a version of viewer or person that weighs in on The Bachelor that is here for the wrong reasons, just like we accuse people of going on the show. There are commentators on this show that are here for the wrong reasons, to build their own platform. I would say I'm guilty of that. I saw, when I started talking about The Bachelor in a social media setting, I was like, oh, the numbers are good. I'm getting people that might go watch my stand-up, might think I'm funny, become a Jared Freed fan. I will admit that no matter what. The people who write stuff like this, right. And I think we're here to entertain. But the people that kind of enter into the show, and this happens because they're morally correct. This person writes, if you want to come in and say the show is a misogynistic show, 30 women dating one man, you want to say that there's race issues. Like, I can't disagree with any of these things. But they do that because they know they can and get away with it. It's like showing up. It's like if you and I threw a party. Because I like the show. I enjoy, you know, again, I talked about before the season, we talked about Zach. We're not excited about Zach. It's okay to not be excited about Zach and then go, okay, this is the show. We're in it now. I did look up numbers. I did look this up. Nielsen ratings. This was the second highest rated show of the week of the night. Okay? It won the key demo. The Bachelor premiere gave a Monday primetime rose to ABC as the network earned the highest rating of the night with a score of 0.54 in the key broadcast demo, according to official Live Plus same-day Nielsen data. So this is something that people do, and what gets me upset is because this happens with The Bachelor. People know they have moral high ground, that you watch garbage, so they won't even let you have fun with it. We know there are problems. We didn't come to this show because I thought maybe this will give me a different view of America and myself and will help me. So no, I came here for my brain to melt and to have some fun with some friends while I watch the show. And these people who I don't believe, and this is my opinion, that the writer of this article cares about the show. I don't think they ever liked the show. The people have hated the show since the minute it came out. I was very young when it came out. It's been out 27 seasons. But people have been like, what the hell? A show where 30 women date one man? This is horrible. And then people liked it in spite of them. People enjoyed it in spite of the people saying. It is like if you and I threw an 80s hair metal party and everyone's dancing. And these people that write these articles come in, show up and go, ugh, don't you know this isn't great music? Ugh, don't you know? And we would go, I know, yeah, it's not great, but I kind of like it. And then we put our hat in hand. We always have to apologize. We always have to apologize. And then an article like this where it is written and no one reads the article. No, I don't believe I don't even believe a third of the people who sent it to me read the whole article because I read it.
No, it's they, an read, opinion the, they piece. Read the snippet at the beginning, just that's like it. I did. And then that's right. it.
So and listen, I didn't want to read it. I see this and I get depressed. I'm like, yeah, I'm a fucking idiot. Yeah, I watch a show that's problematic. Yeah, I watch a show that has a lot of issues. Like, and it really like annoys.
Like, I know.
I know. What do you want from me? And it's like this happens. I got like I remember I got a question in my question box. They're like, do you think The Bachelor will end soon because it's doing so badly? And I'm like, based on what? Yeah. What are you talking about?
Where are you getting this info from?
Right. And ratings are down across the board. Listen, if you want to say to me they're down from 10 years ago, yeah, that and the rest of your TV shows. Every cable show is down from 10 years ago. It's winning the night. It, as written here, I think it came in second place on the night, first place in its time slot because the 9 o'clock show did like 0.01 better. I do keep up on these things. So like, it is frustrating because, and people do this with a lot of reality shows. They want to tell you you're a fucking idiot, loser, stupid, you know, problematic person. They want to own you and win against you in the conversation. Well, we're just at a party having fun. And then they come and they try to change the music and we're like, yeah, the music's not as good. And they're like, well, it's good. People do like it. And we're like, what happened to the music we liked? We were having a fun time before you showed up here. I'm ranting. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just feel like, and also a lot of people aren't watching in real time anymore. Like, people have shit to do on Monday night, some nights, so they can't watch in real time. I know there's a ton of people that listen to our podcast days and days later. So it's not right. like, so these ratings are kind of skewed if they're going based off of if you're watching in real time.
But they didn't even write ratings. They didn't. This whole article has not one number. They even, there's a very specific line in the article that's like even frustrating. They say the most, later in the article, it has a thing about the, you know, the racial issues on the show. And then it talks about Love Island, and it talks about, okay, it says, The Bachelor has never felt more like a relic of a reality dating series pace, a milquetoast relative of Love Island or Love is Blind, which cast, and puts in parentheses, slightly more diverse contestants and evolved their formats accordingly. What is that based off of? I don't doubt that that might be true. I'm saying this article gives us no relevant facts. It's just a feeling that this writer has. So that's what they do. And you can't come back at them and go, well, I disagree. They go, you know, you're the evil one for defending The Bachelor. This happens with a lot of reality shows. It happens with the Kardashians, where you're considered just an idiot for watching the Kardashians. And I don't believe that. I remember when Kim Kardashian did SNL. And she did such a fantastic job on SNL. And
so
I was like,
so good,
so funny, so aware and relevant. And I actually thought it was a mitzvah. It was like a good deed to her fans because, like, her fans now could go, you know, people were waiting to be like, look, that's your mm-hmm. idiot that you like. And it's like, no, she did a fantastic job and made those people proud. You saw after she did SNL, people were legitimately proud like it was a family member. They were proud that it was something their boyfriend could watch, the person that doesn't watch the show could watch, the something that they couldn't get shit on for. So I'm just saying this, like, I don't believe this article. If you sent it to me, I have to say, be a better consumer, better reader. If you are out there and you want to, like, harp on this narrative, the show's over, the show, then leave. Go ahead. The door's right there. We're playing 80s music. We're having a fun time. I'm wearing a wig. So that's my rant.
Period.
I'm sorry.
No, I love that. That is, you put out so many really good points in there, and I'm glad you talked about that because, like, I read it very much surface level and didn't really think too much about it because I'm like, well, I'm still doing the podcast until.
Right. Like, I don't know what you want me to say.
Support.
The Bachelor audience is the most apologetic. I do the live stream. You know how many people comment? I never watch the show. I only watch your recaps. And I'm like,
yeah.
I don't care if you never watch the show. That's fine. That's all I care about is, like, did you get a laugh out of this? Did you have
fun?
That's
all we want.
Did it get your mind off of your shitty Monday? That's what TV is sometimes here for. So yeah. We can move on. I'm sorry to take this over, but I thought a lot about this. We when I got this article, I spent the week thinking about this and, like, It is so interesting to me. It's like these people always hated the show. They just want it to go away, and they want your fun to go away. No matter how you have fun with it, they want it to go away. Well, to move on from this, Victoria has been fun. Victoria's on the show. Victoria has been a pleasure on social media. She took what, and
agreed.
I'm saying this because she's done it. She's done it with a lot of things. She's played along with the part of, like, being a contestant on The Bachelor. She's on the season, and I said that she looked like she was two horns away from being Maleficent in the church running of Snow White. And she literally dressed up as Maleficent.
It was so good. Sam sent us that TikTok. I know you saw it separately, but
yeah,
she sent that TikTok, and I opened it up, and I was like, well, oh, God, is this going to be some sort of, like, Bachelor contestant going off or whatever, and the switch from you going, you know, she looks two horns off of blah blah blah, all of a sudden it cuts to her in the whole outfit,
the commitment. You're right,
it was unmatched.
And I think she's a hair and makeup woman and has a big following on social media due to that, and it was really well done. It's very cool. I'm gonna share once all my Instagram Bachelor stuff goes away later this week, but it was really funny
really
and
funny.
Awesome, and she's been cool. So, I mean, I'll always give props to people on this show who are cool. Like,
and
that go with it. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, Christina Mandrell has been kind of poking around my stuff and been fun about it.
I didn't want to say anything, but yeah, I think it's really awesome to know that so many people from the show either listen or follow along or engage right. with us, because it also makes it more fun for us right. in general. Like it makes, it's like, okay, we're actually, the people who are on the show are seeing this too. And the fact that they're able to laugh along and like Absolutely. Go with it is a game changer.
Absolutely. I mean, Hannah Ann, remember her? Her mom used to watch my stuff.
She's engaged now.
And she's engaged. Congratulations, Hannah Ann. And congratulations, Hannah Ann's mom, who was very sweet. When they did Hometowns, I remember she was like, oh, my God, next week is Hometowns. And I was like, oh, my God, I have to, like, make fun of this woman.
You know, like, have to. It would be a disservice if she's, right. like, waiting. She's, like, letting you know, hey, Hometowns are next week, so get your girl.
Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Cheirosa 62 perfume mist and Cheirosa 59 perfume mist. Both of them are equally great. Cheirosa 62 perfume mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Cheirosa 68 perfume mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BECHELOR10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BECHELOR10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BECHELOR10.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
All right, let's get into today's episode. Here's a brief synopsis of what happened on this week's episode of The Bachelor.
All right, the girls are so excited to cross the threshold of Bachelor Mansion. There's a helicopter, of course. Zach mansplains bad bitch energy while wearing pleather, and he fills the awkward silences with kissing. Lots of kissing.
Yeah, there was a lot of making out. Zach is getting around a little bit. He's a little bit of a kissing whore. I honestly, most of the time we spend with each of the women is them kissing.
I mean, that's all that I've seen from Zach. And every time I looked at the screen, he was kissing a new girl, which is, I guess, the whole point of the show. But in my mind, I think other Bachelor and Bachelorettes have moved slower in that process.
Right. It feels
Maybe.
Like.
I don't know.
He digs into makeout territory pretty quickly. I don't know. What did you call this episode?
We kind of have the same energy. Energy. Well, here we are. I said boring batch energy. It goes along with the whole theme. We have Lotto. It comes on. What about you?
Yeah, I had big dad energy because Zach does have like a dad-like presence. He's like,
yes.
He's definitely that friend who would be the designated driver. He's like in a lot, you know, he's dressed a lot of times like he's like the young dad taking his kid to Disney World, or he's the young dad taking his family to like a suburban Applebee's. And then we had the Lotto scene where we're teaching the women, or they're showing off their big bitch energy. So I went with that theme of big dad energy and the Christina Mendrell reveal that she has a child.
That's a good
during
one,
her one-on-one. So that was kind of part of the whole thing.
Very true.
So
That whole Lotto section, I know it's coming up in a bit, but that whole Lotto section was crazy.
It was very like cheesy. Like I guess we could get to it. They all we start the episode where they're led into the house. I've never seen 20 women more excited to sleep in bunk beds in my entire life.
Which is weird because did they not already sleep in the house? Like, where were they? Where did they sleep the night before?
I think night one is really truly like a cocktail party. And then I don't know, obviously, but it does seem like they're like, okay, night one, you're coming here for the party. 10 of you are going to go. Then you're going to grab your stuff and either your stuff's at the hotel. 10 of you are going to go to the hotel and go home. And the rest of you are going to go to the hotel, sleep the night. And then we're going to have the big run into the house moment. And I mean, the house is a character in itself. Like you're moving into an iconic structure.
And they haven't updated a single thing. Like them panning around the house. It's so like gaudy and kind of tacky. Nothing's been updated since like season one.
It is funny. You're right. I didn't notice until you said it just now. I didn't notice that it's like it does look very like this would be a McMansion in the 90s. Like it looks like it'd be on a golf course in Florida and someone really like did it up in the 90s because they owned a couple car dealerships. It does have that kind of vibe with like especially like, you know, the kitchen appliances. It all looks like a friend's house of a certain age, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Justin Palmer even said, he said something about, he was like, and we just sprayed down the driveway so it looks glossy and wet. But apparently it's supposed to, that makes like the girls' dresses, the reason why they wear sequins and stuff the first night is because the driveway is wet. And so it makes the sequins look even more sparkly.
I love that. I mean, they do that on movie sets too. Have you ever noticed like it's always on TV and movies?
I'm going to pay
the
attention
always
now.
Wet too. Yeah, this is like a and you know what we kind of forget and I think maybe got lost in the pandemic seasons is like they are in LA. They are in Hollywood. Like one of the girls said it. Like I think the one that came from Vermont or the one that came from the girl that came from North Dakota. She's like, I moved to L.A. to make this dream come true. It's like, we forget that when this show came out, it was like American Idol. It was like this show. It was like, you're going to Hollywood. Like, that kind of meant something in a certain time. Like,
it was huge.
There is some nostalgia to that. You're in the Hollywood Hills. You're in L.A., baby. You know, so the house kind of does resemble a certain era.
It does, and I kind of love that they haven't updated it. At first, I was like, ew, like, maybe just a different couch. But, but you know what? Keep it. Never change.
So Jesse comes in, basically tells the women there's going to be, everyone's going on a date, which I didn't realize that is something that they haven't done last season, there were people that were like, I haven't been on a date, you know, whatever. So there were two group dates and one one-on-one date. The first group date is with Lotto, who I didn't know. I knew her song. I didn't know that was who made it. But Lotto's
the girls didn't either. Let's be clear.
They
all came. like Lotto's standing there on the stage, and all the girls are like looking around, like, okay, who's gonna tell me who this is?
At least we get to hear the song. Well, at least we get to hear the song playing. Like we're hearing the song, and I'm going, okay, I'm assuming this is her song. You know, like I. And so Lotto's Big Bitch Energy, which was a huge hit, and it's they're going to do the catwalk and do their best big bitch. It's Big Bitch Energy, right?
I think it's Bad Bitch.
Bad Bitch Energy. Okay, Bad Bitch Energy. I don't know, Big Dick Energy, Big Bad Bitch, Bad Bitch Energy. You're right.
It's the same.
Same thing.
Which I, in what world would the producers or whoever put this together, they were like, you know what? Zach needs a bad bitch.
Right.
the opposite of what we need, Zach actually needs. He doesn't need Victoria or Tajwan or whoever that Courtney girl was. I've never seen her before in my life.
No, he needs a Costco bitch. He needs an Olive Garden bitch.
He needs a Disney adult.
Yeah, the bad bitch is not. Yeah, I wouldn't put him with You know, but I didn't really, did you think it was like him judging? I kind of saw it as like, you're just going to do this bad bitch walk and we're going to enjoy ourselves. Like, it was kind of awkward how loose it was. They were like, okay, let's warm up with some light dancing in the middle of a bar during the daytime. And I was like, yeah. I was like getting cringy as I was watching this. They're like, and they asked him like, are you a good dancer? He's like, no. And I'm happy they got that shot of him, but like, they're just in a random empty bar that's not opened yet, just dancing.
Yeah, it felt very improv'd or like last minute. Even the props when they came out and they were like, the first girl came out and she had on, it looked like she had on chrome boots for like gloves, but they were chrome gloves. Where are they getting these? The props just looked so silly.
It was like, a little,
rather
it was
than
a little
just
cheap.
Walk out. Yeah.
Right.
It looked cheap.
It was a little cheap. Like Kat does Kat ears, of course, and I think Mercedes. But I guess the big, the person who like they claim crush it, she was a dancer.
Yes, that you know, was. I can tell you, I have the girls up because you know they don't give us their names for
right
at all.
The NBA dancer, she
Kylie?
Was like, yes, Kylie. She came up and did like bar mitzvah dancing. It was, you know, it was all fun and games. And then the big turn was that they're going to have Bachelor alumni on to help, you know, bring the bad bitch energy. And it was Victoria, who we now know from Paradise, who's now, I guess, on the Rolodex of like iconic, quote unquote, Bachelor contestants. Courtney, who I had no memory of, and Tajwan. I remember
yes,
Tajwan.
I don't know. I know Tajwan. She's been on multiple seasons of Paradise. She's also mm-hmm. from like a season pretty long ago. I want to say either Pete's season or Colton, like a long time ago. Tajwan's right. been around for a while, but man, poor girl always gets screwed over.
Right. I mean, so they kind of have this like judge but not judge thing. And then they go from like, we're going to show our physical bad bitch energy. And now we're going to show our mental bad bitch energy. And it mm-hmm. turned into like it went from like the talent portion of the night to the like spoken word portion.
Yeah.
It was kind of I understand they're like, this is empowering. Like they want, it is funny. The Bachelor like still feels the need to like, oh man, we better do something empowering. And they like everyone, they have everyone tell their story. And, you know, some of them are very nice. Brianna talks about starting a business. And then we get to Brooklyn, who's like, let's take shots. And you're like, ah, the Bachelor's always going to Bachelor.
Yeah, right. There we go. That's what we were missing. You know, and one of the girls, I think it was, I don't remember which girl it was, but she comes up and she was like, well, the time that I've been a bad bitch is like, you know, I kind of just moved to LA and I'm here, I'm doing a show. Right. So.
right. Yeah. There was a very large range in what made someone's bad bitch list and someone else's bad. Like one woman said, literally was like, move to Tennessee and you're the only 10 I see. And I was like, oh my God. Like
he misunderstood the assignment. There's confusion.
I think that was Bailey.
Oh yeah, the dancing was so weird, and I remember Bailey dancing like vividly. And she did one of the, you know, got down and then rubbed her butt up against him.
Right.
But like they're on like a fuzzy carpet at that time, and I'm like, and he's trying to like spin them. I'm like, bro, they're in heels on. Shag carpet. What do you mean?
It was actually like, as far as Zach was concerned, I think they're just going to keep having him in awkward moments. And we're going
to
find out the people who can like nail the catwalk are probably not for Zach. And the people that are like a little bit awkward and bizarre are going to be the ones he's probably going to be drawn to more. Because
yes.
Then they get to the cocktail hour portion of this. And he talks with the memorable conversations to me, and please add on if I'm missing any.
Yeah.
Catherine, who is intentionally dating, and she mentions being intentional. at least six dozen times. It's
Julia Roberts.
Right, Julia Roberts, who's dating intentionally. When she talks about how I'm dating intentionally, unlike in college when I was just fucking around, which I don't even understand. Like, how do you take that? Like, to me, it always, go ahead. What do you think when she talks about being an intentional dater?
I don't think I've ever not been intentional. Like, if I'm going to be in a relationship with someone, like, if I'm going out on multiple dates with you, if I'm considering a relationship with you, like, I have the intention of, a long-term relationship. I don't know if she's talking about more of like, oh, well, let's just see what happens and go with the flow day by day, that kind of a thing, or what? I'm kind of unclear, but that's how I took it, is like, she's dating to marry.
She uses the word so much, it's as if she had a word of the day calendar and this was the last day that she looked at. And she's just reusing the word 1,000 times. It comes off, and feel free to disagree, but it comes off as this weird statement that is a judgment on how other people date. And I'm sure it's a lot geared towards men. This is something to tell men. I want a serious relationship without having to say it. Like, to me, it's her insecurities. When she keeps saying, I'm dating intentionally, it is to avoid saying, I'd like a boyfriend, which every guy assumes they're on a date with a woman who wants a boyfriend. Whether they're right or wrong, every guy assumes it. Like, you know, so, and I would say, I agree with you. The idea that you're on a date unintentionally, like, I don't even know,
like,
the
you're
opposite
just out there
of that.
For, you're putting on a full face of makeup and, you know, going out on a Wednesday night for just because.
Right.
If I'm going out on a date with a stranger, like, it's because I'm like, okay, let me get to know this guy because I'm looking for a relationship. So I don't understand.
Right.
It's like when guys on dating apps are like, so what are you looking for on here? And I'm like,
right.
Well, I'm on a dating app, so.
I'm looking to date and get to know someone and maybe like them enough to keep getting to know them. And then maybe we'll have a couple months together or a few months together, or maybe we'll stay together forever and we'll be the happiest marriage alive. Like, what are we talking about here? And it's one of those things that she keeps repeating because it sounds smart, but it is not smart. She is saying nothing. And Zach does this a lot. Zach is a big best friend and dating intentionally. And, like, it gets to the point of annoying to me. Like,
his
it gets to the point of
his person. Like,
his
he
person.
Says that
exactly.
Every 5 seconds.
Now, the other conversation that stuck out to me was the Brianna one, which kind of foreshadows what goes on later.
Yeah.
But Brianna's, I do understand where she's coming from. Brianna basically says, I got America's Rose, so I got past the first episode, but that doesn't mean that Zach gave me a rose. And, you know, if Zach had, like, called her down during the rose ceremony, the first one, and be like, hey, I know America gave this to you, but I'm giving this to you as well, I don't think she would have this kind of feeling. I did kind of understand why she would feel insecure. What did you think?
See, I think I felt the opposite.
Really? I did make fun of it. I did say, so sorry, America loves me. You know, but go ahead.
I saw this as somewhat manipulative.
Interesting.
I do understand that, again, America gave her this rose, and who knows if it was America that actually voted. It wasn't just like, you know, cast or producers being like, make sure it's Brianna, whatever.
Right.
But the like crying and the dramatics of it all felt very like, woe is me, trying to guilt him into giving her a rose. And I think it kind of backfired because she didn't get the rose that night. And I don't know. It felt it felt very manipulative. And then seeing later what we do, it all kind of fits together.
I guess the stuff later, I mean, we could get into it now because why not? I didn't even comment on it during the episode because I was like, this is too ridiculous to even explain. Like, I was like, I can't tell her how to feel, right? Like, you can't tell her. But there were so many instances later. So we get to the end of the show. To skip ahead to the end of the show, Brianna basically says that she, at the first Rose cocktail party, Christina Mandrell came up to her and said, I hate you, JK, because she had the rose and was wearing a rose dress. And they replay it. And you watch the interaction. And you go, yeah, this is an insecure Christina Mandrell making a joke about being insecure herself. Like, it's actually admitting insecurity.
Right.
Because she's saying, like, I hate you because you're doing better than me in this game, which on night one, it is a game. And then Brianna, who then says, now during this rose ceremony, she looks at the camera and she goes, I've thought about it a lot. Now I feel bad, which I was like, get out of here. Why? She's kind of had revisionist history on this because now Christina's gotten a one-on-one date. Christina now has a rose. It seems like she's jealous of Christina for having the rose that she doesn't anymore. And now she's found a way to make Christina the villain in this scenario. After that, I was like, oh, this person came with a plan a little bit, right?
The whole thing is really weird because I don't know about you, but rewatching that old clip, the clip from her saying that, there's no part of me that would ever take that seriously as though, like, oh, this girl has it out. Like, that was a clear joke. Like, that's how girls talk to each other. Like, oh my God, I hate you. You look so good. Like, why would
right,
you? And that's what she said.
Right. Honestly, when she said it on the first episode, I thought they showed it because it was going to be like foreshadow for the end of that episode. It foreshadowed something completely different and surprising.
It doesn't, like, it doesn't make sense. And then she goes up and confronts her about it. Christina handles it amazing. I audibly said, I was like, wow, she's handling this great. Because she could have jumped on the defense and been like, what are you talking about? Like, I would have done that personally. But Christina was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I totally hear what you're saying. I did not mean it in that way at all. I was just, you know, and completely took that, took ownership of it, didn't even question it.
She took the loss.
She was like, I'm going to take the L and move on. And then Brianna still goes and tells Zach about it.
Right.
And it's interesting because she was like, do you want me to tell you who it is? And Zach's like, nah, I want to be excused from this narrative. He's like,
well,
you don't have to.
This kind of brings us back to the Tajwan situation because it does feel like Zach watched Clayton's season in a classroom with a professor, with a public speaking coach, with a PR coach, because the way he handled Brianna being like, I don't want to be a part of drama. This is something I'm going to remove myself from. He watched Clayton get involved in this shit. He watched Clayton get grilled for being the one that was like going to like hash it out and take the side of the person complaining. And he watched it blow up in Clayton's face. And now we go back to the Tajwan situation because Tajwan shows up to the group date, interrupts, says, I want to come on to the show, and in a half-ass way. She's like, I just see myself with him. I don't know. And then Zach like goes off with her, comes back, and he has this like kind of convenient heroic moment to be like,
smug about it. He was so smug. Like before he was like, well, she wanted to be with me or come back on the show. And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Right. Like, and it was, it kind of felt like, I'm not one to like accuse producer plants, but this felt like they were like, they cast Tajwan, who has been on the show a million times, as you said, to be like, hey, act like you want to come back on the show. Talk like you want to date him. Maybe you'll end up on the show. And then they went to him and they were like, hey, here's your chance to look like the most awesome dude in America because you're doing exactly what Clayton didn't do. Didn't Clayton let somebody back on? Who was the one that showed up? Or Matt James?
It was Matt James. Heather showed up and she ended up staying for right. a bit. And then
and people were mad.
And people were mad. But the thing is, like, Brianna said something really smart because all the girls were like, this is not fair. We've been here, blah, blah, blah. It's our turn. But Brianna was like, bless her for saying this because, yes, she said, well, if he has a genuine connection with her, why wouldn't
right.
she, like, he let her stay? Like, it wouldn't make sense. So, but he acts as though, as if he's like, I'm not going to do this to you guys. But it's like,
right.
What if you did feel something for her? You're still going to send her home?
Right. It was all a little too convenient and felt, I mean, both of those storylines, him telling Tajwan to go, that he doesn't want her coming back and not asking to hear about the drama. It was like he was following the feet in the snow of what the internet told him to do,
yeah.
Told men to do on other seasons. Like, it was really, because I actually wrote down, I was like, this all seems like it was casted and written out for him.
Calculated. Fully it felt very, scripted.
Totally. And, you know, even she, you know, then she goes and says, I wrote it down. She was like, she comes back on the show and she says, bad bitches don't cry. Like, she had a line. She's like,
and
bad
bitches.
And
the producer was like, well, sometimes they do.
I'd be bad like, bitches up. Cry. So.
And smack the shit out of
her. What are you, her fairy godmother? Get the fuck out of here.
Don't talk to me. You just embarrass me again.
Okay, so then we get the, so Zach gives the rose to Catherine, who takes the rose with intention, as she always says.
As she does.
As she does.
As she does.
What did you think of her getting the rose?
I was surprised that she got the rose. I mean, because he kissed so many girls during that time,
right.
And he kissed her, and so, I mean, I thought they had a good conversation, but I didn't think it was, I don't know. I have yet to hear a conversation with Zach and another woman besides Christina. I think they actually, I don't know if it was just because of the one-on-one or what, but he has not had a meaningful conversation at all. Every single conversation that he has had is very, very surface level. I mean, just like, I can feel right. something there is with you. You seem like a good person. Like, I'm looking for my person and you are too. So, cool.
Best friend, my person, intentional. Best friend, I like my parents. Yeah, it's all very 26 to me. Like, I can't expect him to really give us more. But, you know, the Christina Mandrell date, we go to that and... He picks her up for the date. The big thing hovering above it is that she has to tell him that she is a mom, which he doesn't know yet. And then they're going to go. They get in the car. He says he's a Nickelback fan, which surprised
LOL.
Absolutely nobody. Like, oh, okay. The guy from Anaheim.
Are.
Of course. Of course.
Everything and then makes sense.
Christina says she loves Nickelback, too. And they go on a helicopter. The helicopter date, you know, is very bachelor. It's almost cliche bachelor at this point.
I have it on my bingo card. The helicopter date was on my bingo card. I was like, of course it is.
There it is. The women point at it as if any helicopter above the house must be a bachelor date. And then they land it at his childhood home and they're going to go to a barbecue that is his mom's birthday party. What did you think of the barbecue and the birthday party and Christina?
Why do they keep doing this? They did this with Michelle,
right?
As well, and she brought Brandon home to meet her entire
right.
family.
And
this
it's
was
really
like the
early.
First, yeah, it was like the first one-on-one or something. It was like right at the beginning. Why do they keep doing this? Because I think it's because it'll mainly cause drama the second they get back. But I do like that Christina didn't say anything.
Wow, that is interesting. I mean, it is unfair because there's no way of not becoming more involved with someone after they've met with your parents or
right.
less involved. It's one or the other. If they stay, you've become more connected. If they go, it's because it just didn't work with your family. So it's kind of this, like, you know, it's like being on the, you know, playing a board game, and it's like take five steps ahead, five steps backwards. So
yeah,
they, you know, and it goes well. I mean, like, Christina did things that it would make me cringe at my, if I brought her to my parents' house without, you know, on a first date. She gives a toast, like, at the mom's birthday party.
So weird. Where was the uncle?
I don't know. Yeah, where was David Putty? No David Putty.
I was looking for him. I was like, come on. He's got to be here. I was like, that was my first initial thought was, oh, my family's birthday party. My uncle's going to be here. I was like, great. We're already kicking it off with the famous uncle.
Right, wearing the eight ball jacket, doing stuff from The Emperor's New Groove. You know, like, it was a lackluster. You know, the other family members were there in their party shirts. Every single guy there, every old man at that party looked like they were, like, taken in a van from the Home Depot and, like, given a colorful shirt. Like, none of the shirts looked like they were theirs. None of those men looked like they wanted to be at a party. They were just like, hey, they had like an open casting call at a Home Depot. And they're like, hop in, put on this Tommy Bahama. You're going to a birthday party today. It was very awkward.
Not even actually his family. It's just random guys that they just picked up from Home Depot. Are you free this afternoon? Because we got a party.
We got a pool. We got some burgers. We got some dogs. And then she talks to his cousins and sisters, or he has one sister, and she says, the sister's like, I just want you to know this was like crazy. She goes, I want you to know he's a gentleman. He's a good guy. You know, we want to find the right woman for him. And then Christina's like, oh, also, don't mean to interrupt, he's also hot as hell. And you're like, Christina, stay on family time. What are we talking about?
What? Like, so out of pocket. I don't know. The family date's interesting because then you get to the dinner portion of the date where she has to tell him that she's a mom. And his reaction is obviously valid. But he was like, you know, that's just a lot. And it's like, you know what's a lot? Going to your parents' house on a first date. That's
fair.
Also a lot.
It is funny, though, that he comes on this show to, like, he's like, it is jarring. You came on the show to make a connection. You go, wow, she's hanging. People like her. Mm-hmm. Now we're at dinner, and she's like, and I got a 5-year-old. And he's like, now I got to decide. Big bomb. And now he has to decide, do I like her and want to continue, which he probably had already decided he did, and do I want to be a father? Because Christina did a thing that was, like, very interesting. She kept talking like, I'm looking for, like, someone to help me with this baby. Like, she wasn't talking like, that's my kid and I want someone who loves my kid. Usually the moms that come on the show, they're like, I just want someone who's, like, going to be cool with my kid. Christina spoke in a tone that was like, I'm looking for, like, you know, help with, you know, school pickup.
She's literally said, she was like, I don't want to do this alone. She was like, I want, you know, I want somebody who's going to be there for Blakely May, but also for me. But she said that. She was like, but also for me. Like, I need fucking help.
I was like, I would have been gone. I got to say, offense to any.
I thought he was going to.
He wrestled with it.
He kept her. I was very surprised.
I mean, it felt like an adrenaline pick. He was like, yeah, I could be a dad. I could be a dad. Like, it felt like he looked in the mirror and was like, yeah, I could play catch. I could do Blakely May. I could do it. I could do, you know, princess parties and tea parties. You know, like, I was like, it felt like a rash decision a little bit.
It did feel like a rash decision, and, like, he wasn't fully thinking about it. And I thought he was going to not choose her. But what I did like how he handled the situation was when he was talking about, you know, I also want a family. I also have these goals. But instead of saying start a family, he said build upon. He was like, or family to build upon, which I think was very supportive language.
He, again, this is example number, you know, 5 at this point of him speaking very well. Like, he's almost like been coached up politically. Mm-hmm. It was like he was coached up by a political advisor to go on The Bachelor and be a man on The Bachelor, because he did say everything right. He even said, he's like, this is scary. This is something that's come out of the blue. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, that might be something I'm not going to sign up for. And she's like, thank you. I appreciate you being real with me. Like, he does. But I also, I believe him in the way I believe, like, a politician. You know, like, I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I know you want to win and you want to be liked. But I also kind of believe you do want to be in public office. Like, so I do kind of believe he does want to be there. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I fully believe he wants to be there.
So Christina gets the rose. Zach says he'll be a father. And
Zach commits to fatherhood.
Right. And then we go to the second group date. And it's just a cocktail party, right?
Yeah, I think it was just a cocktail party. I don't think there was anything other than just like, hey, girls, you can have more time with him, like, but we're not going to give you an activity.
Well, I don't know. I'll get to that in my, you know, my fuck, marry, kill, or my hometown fantasy suites go home. Because what did you think? So Arielle has the conversation where she's like, let's write down something vulnerable. And then she writes down, will you kiss me? It was cutesy. Arielle has the same monotone voice as Zach. They have the same exact voice.
Well, now I can't unhear. I can't. So every time I see Arielle, I think about what you said in the first about the first episode, how like she came on hot, like complaining. And right. I think she said something. She was like, it just never works or something. Said something along those lines again. I was like, yes, come back with the complaining. Come back with that because that's all I can think about now.
The one Jewish chick in the house comes in. The flight took forever. They lost my luggage. Never works out for me. It's freezing in here. Is this how you make a drink? Like, I do keep expecting her.
It was so really funny. It was really funny. That's but now every time I see Arielle, that is all I can think about.
Right. Yeah. I mean, her thing was cutesy, I guess. And then Zach, the whole thing was taken over by Gabby, who had never spoke to him before.
Which, yes, Gabby is the Charli D'Amelio dupe.
The maple syrup. Vermont. She's the Vermont version of Charli D'Amelio.
And she is like having a full freak out, which is interesting because when Christina got the one-on-one date, Gabby was the first person to be like, I'm so happy for you because I know how much this meant to you. And it's like, I bet it would mean a lot to everyone to have the first one-on-one date. What do you mean?
So what are you talking about?
Now her having a full panic over not ever talking to Zach is really interesting because now she's like, well, I haven't gotten time with him and blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
And she almost talks herself into like bombing because then she talks to him and she does the thing that like you can't do. You can't try and go over the top of the guy who's the bachelor. It's like, I'll give an example. I've had like, if you're approaching someone, don't be bold, but then also be sarcastic and an asshole. Like she was like, what should I call you? Zachariah, what should I call you? And it's like, how about you take it down a notch, say hello, be normal. Like, I don't want your fucking nickname. I don't even know you yet. Yeah, why are you talking?
I don't even know you.
I had someone DM me once, and it's like, you're DMing me. I don't know you. You seem to know me. You seem to think that we could go on a date or something. And she wrote, like, five reasons you should go out with me. And, like, the first reason was, like, I'm way funnier than you. Like, so much funnier than you that it's, like, not even funny. And I'm like, all right, like, it's what? Okay if you are. How about you make a funny fucking joke and then I'll believe you? You know, like and also I'm not looking to date someone to do stand up for me. Like I'm, you know, like, and it's like, but sometimes this happens where someone's insecure and to mask their insecurity, they come in with this like too muchness. And I think Gabby did that with the whole nickname. And you could feel Zach was like, this ain't working.
It felt weird. It felt awkward. It felt like off.
Forced.
Forced is a great word, but So I don't know if she, I mean, she ended up sticking around.
Right. But... Well, she saves herself. She does come back. Let me give her credit. She comes back at the Rose Ceremony cocktail party, and she has another conversation with him where it does go well. They have, you know, she wants to Lady and the Tramp a Reese's cup, and they eat the Reese's cup together, like Lady and the Tramp style. I didn't even know that was like something that could be used as a verb.
I feel like it's too, yeah, but also I feel like the Reese's cup is so small.
Right. It was a little too, don't go with the minis if you're going to tramp shit.
Yeah.
So then he seems to hit it off most with, oh, Brooklyn, they lasso a fake cattle. Brooklyn kind of
really good. I like Brooklyn. Good. I think she is a really interesting choice for the show because I don't think we've seen anybody like her that has this, like, you know, she's a barrel racer and a cattle and she does all this rodeo stuff. I think that's so cool. I like her. She seems tough.
And Brooklyn was the first to say, I don't want to hear about your experience with Zach. I want, yes. He's my man. So it does feel like Brooklyn came here to play. It came here to win the guy, which I like. I'm into that. I think that she's going to be, it kind of felt like they were foreshadowing her villain turn. It felt like she's going to be someone we're going to hear from, mm-hmm. kind of battling it out, which is fun.
But I think her approach is really smart because I think half of the battle of this show is the mental mental part of it, where it's like you're thinking about him being with other girls. You're thinking about, mm-hmm. you know, you're seeing him kiss other girls. You're seeing him flirt with other girls. Protect your peace.
Right.
And she's like, I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk out. I don't want to see it. And I think that is really smart.
And it shows you, like, she's not here for the camaraderie as much, which is like, okay, you're going to be friends. A fun character. Not here to make friends. Yeah. And then, the other conversation that was the big one was Jess. So he has seemingly hit it off with Jess both episodes. Jess kind of looks a little bit like she could be his sister. Jess...
So, like, innocent and just very, like, green.
She's boring.
Boring. I mean, she was the first one out of the limo. And
she
had her shoulders up to her ears with nerves. I don't know.
But I think that's, I mean, like, to me, she's, like, female version of Zach a little bit. He's a little bit boring. She's a little bit boring. They're both young. They had this kiss where they both had matching hands on each other's cheeks. Like, they had this, like, weird... They were palming each other's skulls while kissing. It just looked like they were making out with themselves. It was, like, it was kind of weird.
Well, they were talking about, at one point, the girls were talking about how much tongue is used. And Jess was like, I didn't know that people use tongue every time they kissed or something. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's like, I guess it depends on the person and the kiss and all that. Like, you have to feel out the situation.
Right, the way she talked about it felt very young and new to all of this. I mean, I would describe them both as Melba toast. You know, like I just felt very dry cracker. You know, to like, you know, like in a sense. So I think that's where they're connecting, to tell you the truth. And you said that last time, I think.
Yeah, I think they're both the same with Charity. I think they're both the same kind of like. Cheesy, tacky, not tacky is the wrong word, but like cheesy and silly and just like a little awkward.
Yeah, Charity had that too. Yeah, I think you're very right. So then we go to the rose ceremony and we already talked about the Brianna stuff where she kind of tried to make Christina the villain and it didn't really work. And then, Zach does sit with Brianna and say that she has walls up. And it's like, he said it pretty well where he was like, it feels like we're always talking serious. He's like, I like to be goofy and fun. And it's like, but then she ends up staying. We have the, you know, the rose ceremony and the only ones to leave are Kat and Kimberly who look like they could be sisters themselves.
I thought, we were going to keep Kat for longer.
I am so
surprised.
I am so upset Kat is gone. Kat was the, and we haven't even talked about her yet because, but she was, who's the guy, Justin, that did all the facial expressions?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
She's yes. the new Justin. She had so many fun facial expressions. She was big in personality. She kept with the cat theme. She, you know, on the runway, she did the cat stuff. I mean, I put her in our weekly categories. We're going to, we'll get to her later. But I was a cat fan, fun to make fun of, fun to have on the show. Very sad to see her go. Kimberly, we barely even met you. Let's go to the categories.
Okay, so would you rather? Do you want to start us off?
Sure. I said connect with someone and realize they have a baby, or connect with someone and realize they're married. So you connect with someone, you have a great first date, and at the end of the first date, they're like Christina Mandrell, and they're like, I have to tell you, I have a five-year-old. Or you have a great first date, and they're like, I have to tell you, I'm actually married. What would you rather?
I guess the kid, because Then if they were married, it's like, well, what are you doing even, like, seeing me?
Right. You're also a liar.
Not even that, because, like, yeah, you're also, but, like, I guess you could have a random connection with someone who's married, and you don't necessarily have to be on a date. And you could just, like, be in a situation. But in my head, I'm like, it would be, I would feel better with the kid, I guess, I think.
Right.
What about you? I'm unclear about my answer.
That's I get it, because, like, it's a tough one to answer, because it's like, you know, you're like, in a perfect world, I connect with someone, we can start our lives together, and we can be intertwined and have our own kids and family. But then, you know, if they're married, you're like, oh, how did we get to this point? Would you ever do this to me? And then the person with a kid, you go, yeah, I think you're great, but now I have to rethink how I look at who we are as a couple. Because, and again, this isn't to, like, against someone with a kid who's out there dating. This is just to say, you find out later on. I think the way Zach found out, because usually when someone has a kid, that's like their first opening.
Yeah. Like,
they come out of the limo and they go, here's a picture of the love of my life, and it's their kid. And you go, oh my God. And now you know, like, okay, now it's in front of me. This, I actually think it's kind of unfair the way Christina did it in this.
Oh, yeah. Just, yeah, told him after the fact. I think it could have been sooner, but I think she wanted to, not that this is correct, but I think she wanted to have him get to know her first before she was like, oh, by the way, here's all of my baggage.
Right. I guess I didn't say that Christina's the villain, but here's the thing. And later on, when they do the previews for next episode, they start hinting at Christina being the villain. And it does, and kind of to go back to Christina, like when Zach comes out to the, you know, the rose ceremony cocktail hour, he's like, Christina, big day for us. You met my family. And then all the other women are like, wait, what? She met your family? And she's like, yeah, I didn't tell them yet. And it's like, Christina's smarter than we want to believe. Christina is here for the game. Christina's here. And I think when you come on this show, like when people cry when they're kicked off the show, I never like think less of them. I get it. You're in this contained space. You start thinking of your own life and your own dating life. It's not even about the guy. It's about, oh my God, I'm always getting turned down, and I came on a show and I put my life aside. So there's tunnel vision involved with being on this show. I think when you have a kid and you come on this show and you're like, I'm coming on to find some, and as she put it, someone to help me with my child, like she is like a super villain. You know, like she's like a maniacal, like there's something like super powered about her.
I mean, she is hiring. She is Christina's hiring, and she always like in every situation she's biting her lip. Like Zach will walk in, she bites her lip. They're in the middle of their conversation and she's just biting her lip, and I'm like, oh, she's out for blood.
It's so funny you say that, because there was one point during the live stream where I was about to call her it seemed like she was always posing for a thirst trap.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it. And it does, she does have that vibe where like every time she figures out where the camera is or like that she's like, it does feel like she's posing for a like gym selfie.
Mm-hmm. All the time. So. She's always, she can feel the camera from a mile away.
It feels like that. But I, hey, listen, what was your would you rather?
I said, would you rather show up to meet someone and then get sent home right away or stay and everybody hates you?
I'd rather go home. I don't want to be uncomfortable.
Same.
You're already in a house in a bunk bed. You're already like no phone, no TV, and everyone hates me. Like, I don't even get to talk to anybody. Like that, to me, it's just a lonely life. You know, how long can you last in solitude?
I agree. I think I'd rather just go home because unless I actually felt some sort of really strong connection with the guy, like Tejuan didn't really, I mean, you don't know anything about Zach
right.
at all. Like, why would right. you even consider staying or wanting to stay? Yeah.
That's why it felt so planned, as if she was in on it. Like, it didn't feel like she, like, really cared to stay. She was just there to rabble-rouse, you know?
Yeah, it didn't feel, I would have gone home.
Okay, so fantasy suite, hometown, or send home. This is our version of fuck, marry, kill. Fantasy suite, hometown, send home. Helicopter date, cocktail hour date, bad bitch energy, catwalk date.
Immediately send home. Bad bitch energy catwalk date.
Okay. Helicopter date includes meeting his parents, by the way.
Oh, fuck, right. Okay. Then I would do cocktail hour date as fantasy suite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Send home the bad bitch energy catwalk date. And then I would hometown helicopter. I think I would do that just because, I mean, like, for a lot of people, I think meeting someone's family, especially on the first date, is pretty intense. But I think I could look at it in a way of not that deep, not that serious. Like,
right.
you know what? Let's like do something fun. I'd rather go on the helicopter date and meet your family than, you know, not go on the helicopter date and meet your family.
I'm cocktail hour date is my hometown. Because that's just the best date. The fantasy suite, I'm doing bad bitch energy catwalk date because at least you're drinking and you get to meet Lada and what? At least there's a fun date at the end. The helicopter date, I don't see anything good in it. It's like I got to talk, I got to scream over this helicopter. I got to wear the headphones that make me look like a Muppet. I got to like... you gotta meet my parents. My parents, you know, coming to my house for the first date ain't the same as Zach's. You know, they're all calm and like, oh, welcome, son. My mom's like, take off your shoes. Like, it's just like not.
Yeah.
I can't have that date.
The vibe's off.
Right away. Like, so let's do top contestant. Who did you love?
I think I like Greer. I think.
Really?
I think so. I think Greer. Is a good choice for Zach just because I think she's kind of carefree and I think he needs to feel like, I think with her, he'll feel like he's a man and making choices and this and that because she's so much younger.
This is the surprise of the century.
We didn't see much of her, but I don't know. I think Greer's going to stick around. What about you?
I had my top contestant this episode was Kat. I just loved her facial expressions. I loved her.
She is great.
The fact that she kept doing cat shit was fucking amazing. When she got called for the group date, her face, like literally her head almost turned on its neck like she was on The Exorcist. It was crazy.
I know.
It was like, I'm so sad she's gone. We barely even knew you, Kat.
I didn't think that I was going to like her until she was sent home. And I was like, oh, damn.
Right.
Kat's going home?
She had childlike wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. You know the TikTok song, oh, is that Melody? Oh, too bad. Or something like that.
Yeah, right. Right. I'm sad. No, I know what you're talking about.
I'm sad for her. What about your IG rising star?
So we didn't see much of this woman, but I have a feeling she is becoming beloved by the audience. Anastasia, is that her name? Mm-hmm. How do you say her name?
Yeah.
She keeps wearing a little bit pantsuity items.
Yeah,
she keeps wearing pantsuits, which in a certain way endears her to a certain segment of the audience. There, I can feel it. Like people, like I've gotten a couple comments like, don't come for Anastasia. Don't come for her because she's also the oldest in the house, I think. So there seems to be a love for her in a way that's almost irrational. It's very Grocery Joe. Like we've created a background for her because of the pantsuits that doesn't exist, but now it exists. So I think she's going to be doing just fine on social.
I think she is. I think that's a good one. I said Christina. So we found out Christina was in a Taylor Swift music video.
I heard about this and she's posted it.
Yeah. So it's her Taylor Swift 15 music video. And there's a little clip of Christina in it. So I think this is going to, she's already a content creator. Like that's her job.
Right.
And I think this Taylor Swift, yeah, I think this Taylor Swift video is going to just bump her up even more in the fans' eyes.
Right. And let's just say maybe Taylor gets word of it and she mentions it. Like, you know, then she becomes like fucking Harry Styles level at that point.
Right. Right. You never know.
Who'd you have as the villain?
Brianna, I think.
Yeah.
I think her first move telling Zach about her feeling insecure about not getting his rose, but America's rose, is valid. But the drama around it, like the crying and that right. felt very performative and manipulative to me. And then her making this whole I hate you, JK, into something was, I don't know, icky.
It was icky. It was annoying. It was like she knew, it felt like she knew she was going to like, I mean, look how quickly Christina Mandrell folded. She folded like a box. Like immediate fold was like, nope, I don't want to be the villain. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the person that bullied. Don't make me that. Like she was, and it felt a little bit like Brianna knew like, oh, okay, I got something on this person. It was icky. I agree with the word icky because I was like, you know, I'm making fun of the show. I'm making jokes. And I was like, I don't even know how to explain this because it's so kind of petty.
It's petty. It's so, so petty to bring this up just to, we have seen time and time again that bringing drama to the lead never right. works out in your favor, ever.
It doesn't help. Yeah.
Don't go to their room to have a chat with them. Don't bring right. drama to them because all it's going to do is ruin the night for everyone else. Zach could have like canceled the cocktail party or some shit and because right. Brianna, because he would have to like, stop this fight between these two. Like, don't do it.
Right, right. And he handled it probably the best way it could have been handled, to tell you the truth. Like, him just being like, I don't want in on that and getting awkward. Like, we saw how awkward he is. Like, and I kind of liked him more for that, to tell you on that one.
Yeah.
What do you got for Paradise Picks?
Okay, Paradise Picks, Kat. Kat is definitely, like, I think she's definitely going to Paradise. There's no way. They're not going to give this girl with the gimmick because she was the closest thing to a like costume or gimmick without right. actually having to fully execute. Like she's not pouring meatballs on her fucking head. She's not like wearing a full blown costume. So this, I think she is perfect for Paradise.
Yeah, I had Kat as well. I also said Brianna. I think Brianna is going to be great on Paradise. I think like, you know, just this scene alone, like being America's pick, that plays into it too. Like people love her, like her already. She's young. I can see it. Cringe Harrison Award.
I mean, mine again was just the Brianna stuff. I think that was just so cringy, but you have a really good one here.
I like the Brianna was my first thought, but I was like, we already talked about it a little bit. So I had the whole scene with Tajwan. So everything about Tajwan's scene was cringy. The way she was like half, like doing the half ass, like, I really want to be with him. I see something in him. Who wouldn't want to be with Zach? And then being mean to the women, she tells all the women that they didn't bring enough in the bad bitch energy competition.
That was wild.
When she said that, it's like, can you imagine saying to another human being, like, well, if you want to be here, you better bring it. Like in the bad bitch energy, it's like some of you didn't try. And it's like, what kind of weird sorority accusation is this? It's like, you didn't try enough in the bad bitch competition. Like, it was just weird. And then
it was so strange.
And then also Zach being the convenient hero to like, nah, I won't bring another woman onto this show. You guys made too many changes in your life for you to. And it's like, dude, we watched this episode play out already. You know how to do the good guy thing. And then when Brianna said bad bitches don't cry and the producer said sometimes they do, and it's like, get like, this scene out of here.
It was really funny watching Tajwan sit on that couch, and because all the girls came over like in the group of like 10 of them, right, being like hi, and then Tajwan just sitting there like not even blinking, didn't flinch at it. I mean, I need to know what kind of anti-anxiety medicine she's on, because she was chill. I would have been like, I would have, my fight or flight would have kicked in, and it would have been flight.
Honestly, it felt like she was paid, and she's like, I'm just doing a job here.
Yeah.
Like, it did, like,
I'm
it
here
was
for the check.
I'm here for the check. Like, she was so weirdly mean to these women, and it's
I know.
Like, it was just like, why this turn? Why they all just kind of were pretty vulnerable and you just sat there and watched them? You have you now have collected all this information on them, and you didn't have to do anything except walk out like you were someone, you know? Like the power dynamic there is like insane.
Yeah, that was wild. Who did you who's getting your rose this week?
Christina Mandrell. I thought she played it right as far as what she wants to do, which is to find a baby daddy. What did you think?
I said Christina's party bus. I mean, they used it again
on
the way to Lotto. I was like, this girl brought the bus, and they've used it multiple times. I'm like, this bus is a paid actor.
You're right. You're right. It's as much part of the show as Tajwan is now. You know, they were all
lead role.
And then I guess the previews for next week, we kind of talked about this already. They kind of lead us towards a Christina Mandrell heel turn, that she's going to be maybe villainous and ganged up on a little. And listen, part of that could be because she's in the lead a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And that's also why Brianna, it feels like, kind of came after her. But we're going to see. So
we got to keep us on our toes.
That's right. So this was a fun episode. I think it sets us up for a good season, a classic Bachelor season. I know that might piss off Vanity Fair, but that's okay.
This is definitely, you're right, this is a classic, like, page out of the book Bachelor season, chapter by chapter. It's I'm excited to see what happens. And you see all these different characters and their different arcs, and you never know who's going to come down to be the last one. So
there it is.
All right. So make sure you are following us on Instagram at The Bachelor, on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. All pop culture, Bachelor stuff is going up. So it's not just Bachelor. It's very entertaining. Make sure you're following us there. And then you can follow me at K York City.
And I'm at Jared Freed. And
we'll be back next week.
I'm sorry.
It was cute. We were doing it at the same time.
Well, yeah, we were like a duet.
The Bachelor Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amy Klackner. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. And be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com.
Betches.